trying to live up to these impossible standards. This is called performance-based Christianity. Because not even the spiritual abuser himself can live up to the standard, but yet he's somehow got his followers convinced they have to. Let's go to John chapter 9. Here's a great record. This is the record of the guy that was born blind. And Jesus Christ comes along, puts a little mud on his eye, tells him go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he washed and he came seeing. And you'd think all the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those guys would just be great. You know, there's a healing. Well, wait a minute. It wasn't done by their rabbi in their synagogue and on the right day. It was done on the Sabbath day by Jesus Christ in the wrong place at the wrong time. So they got all upset. And so let's pick up the story in verse 26. And they're giving him the third degree. It's like a big Matthew 18 confrontation going on here or something. You know, they are the whole bunch of Pharisees, you know, like five or six against one, or maybe it was 10 against one or something. You know, they had them all lined up, and they're just raking them over the grills here. And then they said unto him, again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. Didn't you guys hear it? Wherefore would you hear it again? Would you also be his disciples? Uh-oh, he said the wrong thing. He's on his way out. And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. Yeah, if they were Moses' disciple, they would have loved Jesus Christ. For we know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know from not whence he is. And this is great. This guy's got a backbone. You know, he stood up. He didn't just knuckle under. He stood up and he just said, well, wait a minute. Here this guy, you know, he heals it. You guys are the religious leaders, Moses' disciples. And you don't know from whence he is? This is a marvelous thing. In verse 30, and answered and said, wherein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is? And yet he hath opened mine eyes. You know, you guys are the spiritual leaders, and you don't even know what's going on. For we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This is a first-time miracle in the history of the world at this point in time. And these Pharisees didn't have a clue what was going on. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And verse 34, here comes the false accusation. And they answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Dost thou teach us? And they marked and avoided him. They cast him out. And let's flip back a chapter to John 6, 37. And here Jesus Christ is talking, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. See, he wasn't going, Pharisees were in there to cast and out stuff, Jesus Christ wasn't. Now occasionally there may be a situation where somebody, you don't want them to come to fellowship anymore, because there was a record in Corinthians about a guy who was having sexual relations with his father's mother. I believe there's a swear word that covers this situation. I won't say it, but those you have imaginations, you can figure it out. But he was doing very unseemly things, a rather bizarre form of incest. The Apostle Paul wrote them, I believe it was in Corinthians chapter 5, and he said, you know, you should probably ask this guy to quit coming because all the unbelievers are making fun of you Christians because of this guy's behavior. So there are occasional situations when somebody's behavior gets so out of bounds that you may not want them in your house. But that's really the exception rather than the norm. For the most part, if you teach the word, somebody's off, you'll teach the word and they'll just lose interest and will quit coming for the most part. And if they don't want to change, you don't have to like have this big cleansing thing or something. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. And no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. And it shall be found there; it shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. Now I've heard these verses taught that unless you're fellowshipping with, we'll use Christian Family Fellowship. Unless you're with Christian Family Fellowship, then you're going to be out off the highway and then you're going to be down in the ditches and the lions are going to eat you up and you're going to just be wasted. But see, that's abuse. Because see, it's not one ministry only that carries the word. If John ever started teaching that, I think a lot of us would probably pack up and go and find someplace else. Because, you know, there's other men of God in other ministries. Or say if your organization was founded in the 40s or something. How did God bless people before your organization was formed if that you're the only true ministry, you know? Well, there isn't just one true. One true ministry you see in the Word of God is the ministry of reconciliation. And anybody that walks the Word of God can tap into that. Somebody in XYZ church or Brand X church or whatever you want, you know, if they do the Word of God, they can operate the ministry of reconciliation. The next thing the adversary uses in spiritual abuse is legalism. But you being taught how to do something, or you being taught that you have to do something. Mary Lou and I were talking last night about how we like to go to meetings, you know. Like, we wouldn't mind going to meetings 3-4 nights a week because we enjoy the Word so much. Some people want to go once a week. But you know what? If we told you guys you had to be here every Sunday, that'd take all the fun out of it. If you're not here, then there's something wrong with you, and we'll have to take you aside and ask you why you're not coming often enough or something. Well, you know what we do in Michigan? Sometimes we have people don't show up for 2 or 3 months. You know, when they show up, we treat them extra nice, the people, because maybe they've got things going on in their life they weren't able to get there. And when they get there, they need more blessings than the rest of us that have been there all the time. And so the thing to do is you don't rail on them and tell them how bad they were. You treat them extra nice and make them want to come more often. You bless them up real big instead of saying, "What's the matter with you?" Nobody wants that kind of religion. Even if it was the truth of God's word, nobody wants legalism. It's like if you got a little kid, you know, and they like to watch a cartoon. You tell them, "Well, you have to watch Bugs Bunny this morning." They're going to flip it over to Roadrunner, or they're going to flip it over to Fred Flintstone or something, just because they don't want to do what they're told. It's just human nature. Let's go to John chapter 8. You know, I have no idea how long I've been going here. I got 5 minutes? Oh, yes. Okay, well, let's give you the abridged version. I got this written in the book here, so you can take this book and work it. But in John chapter 8, the Pharisees brought the woman taken in adultery. They said, you know, that she should be stoned. Well, in the Old Testament, if a woman was taken, if you had like one married couple here and one married couple here, if the husband from this relationship had relations with the wife from this relationship, then the Old Testament law was that you take those people out and stone them, you know, because they were doing something that was wrong. Now, this situation didn't quite fit that because they brought the woman only. They didn't bring the man. And they said, "Well, look, we should stone her. What do you say, Jesus?" And Jesus sat down and thought about it. And he says, "Well, whichever you guys is without sin, you cast the first stone." That's a great answer, huh? Turns out that really what was probably going on, and lots of times people that are spiritual abusers are also sexual abusers. Probably what was going on there is the Pharisees, how'd they know she was doing adultery? It was probably one of their concubines or something. You know, they were quite often men in that position. They will, you know, be like Bill Clinton and use their position to get women. Let's go to the end of this booklet. There's a couple more sections here where I discuss how jumping through hoops, how you've got, they've always got the standard that moving all the time. That's another form of spiritual abuse. And another one is control. I've seen people that were got in trouble in abusive systems because they changed jobs without asking if their leadership if they could change jobs. I mean, well, what difference does it make to them what job I work? It's none of their, you know, if I want to work at Ace Hardware, it's nobody's business but mine and my wife's. We decide together. It's amazing what people put up with. But here's a checklist that you can check to see if something's spiritually abusive or not. First on the list is, what is the fruit? Is the fruit good? Is it bad? Are you allowed to disagree? Do you get in trouble if you ask questions? Anybody here doesn't understand what I'm taught tonight, and immediately afterward, come up and ask me a question. Feel free. You know, you should, anytime here, you should feel free to ask a question. If you don't understand or you don't agree with something, you know what? We don't have to fully agree on everything. I think the only person I agree 100% with on the word is myself. If I sat down with anybody in this room, we'd probably find some point we'd disagree on. But you know what? If we agree on all the big points, that's what counts. You know, who is Jesus Christ? Who is God? Things like that. How do you get saved? Can you talk with those who have left? It's interesting. This ministry is a fairly young ministry, and there's few people that used to be here that aren't here anymore. You know what? But we can still talk to those people. It's really nice is when they left, John never got up here and told us how bad they were and all the bad things they did and trash them. I really respect John for doing that, you know, and because that's the way it should be done. We should have the freedom to do it because, you don't know, some of those people may come back. You know, that's life. If you have a church, some people will decide, well, that's not for me. I want to go down to the church down the street. And that's their freedom of will. Maybe they'll get more blessed there than here. That's possible. There, you know, the minister down the street probably has some Holy Spirit too. It's amazing how that works. Is the system grace-based or legalism-based? Are you allowed to ask questions? Is the standard always changing? You know, it's like, well, just you getting ready to jump through this hoop. About the time you're ready to jump through, oh, it's over here now. Oh, it's over here now. It's over here now. God's word, the standard, stays the same. It's not always changing. It's not like blown about by every wind of doctrine like it talks about in Ephesians. Are a lot of people being ostracized or kicked out? You know, if there's a lot of people being kicked out, then there's probably something wrong. Are people being falsely accused? Do you have to answer to leadership on small personal matters? Are other groups outside the system portrayed as evil and wrong? Or does the system teach that they are the only ones that have the real truth? We're the only ones that have the rightly divided word. Everybody else is wrong. I don't think so. Are you required to give money rather than asked to give money? Because it says in the word we're supposed to give willingly. As a man purposeth in his heart. Well, if we come to you and say, well, you gave 12% last year, you better up it to 13%, otherwise you're not thankful this year. Well, that's not the will of God. You know, that's then you're not giving. You're paying. It's like they send you a bill in the mail. That's not giving. And I added one more to the list that's not in the booklet. You know, are you required to witness to win people? It's like, well, gee, you know, you've been coming to our fellowship for 3 years now and you haven't brought anybody new. Don't you like our fellowship? Are you witnessing? What's the matter with you? Well, you know what? If you bring people, it's great. If you don't, it's great. It's between you and God. It's not between you and your leader. Anyway, there's more to this stuff. These booklets are available. And again, like we wrote on the board there, it's not from God. It's not God's will to see his kids kicked around and beat up. And hopefully this will go out on tape and help a few people. Because I still have some friends and relatives that are in systems that, you know, I'd rather not see them involved with. And the best thing we can do is pray for those people and forgive those people and just be there to love them up when they need help. And that's what I'd like to share today.